Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. It's very interesting as we study the majestic Word of God, how God, all the way through His Word, says, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. All the way through it. It doesn't matter. From Abraham, Job, Enoch, Abel, whoever chose life, got it. And they got blessing. Whoever chose death, they got it. And cursing.
Why did someone
choose death? It's like this whole thing with abortion. Choose life. That's not difficult to understand. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When you steal, when you kill, when you destroy, you are of the enemy. And if you're of your Lucifer, your father, where are you going to be? You're going to go to his domain, where he'll be chained for all eternity, on the right side of God. It's not politics. It's not right or left. It's not Democrat or Republican. Get on the right side of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Time to pray the opening prayer. You got to move quickly and get away from that subject. We pray the same opening prayer every time we come here. You find it right there in the notes of the program. Pray it with me. Right out loud. Say it right out loud in your house, please. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. That ain't religion. I pray personally will be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, today, kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And we've got five chapters of it to read today. Next year when I do chronological Bible, we're going to do a little different examination. There's no reason to do five on one day and just two on another.
Yeah.
Second Chronicles chapter 19, Jehoshaphat. Then Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Remember, they went to battle, and Ahab was killed by an arrow. Shot at random. I like that verse. That means the guy just went, and when he did, God said, I'll take that one. Took out Ahab, his enemy. Yes, that's what God does to those who hate him, never to those who love him. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Uh-oh. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Because he made an alliance with Ahab. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat dwelt throughout the Jerusalem. And he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim. And he brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. See, he was a revivalist. Good job, Jehoshaphat. He set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities, city by city. He said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. In other words, he's watching. Keep your stuff together. And I speak that over a judge we got right now in the United States of America. Therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord. Landmark statement. There is no iniquity with the Lord, our God. No partiality, no taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests, some of the chief fathers of Israel, when they had returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord and faithfully with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against the law or commandment, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord, and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. See, it's very simple. Take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all the matters of the Lord. Zedekiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah. For all the king's matters, all the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. 2 Chronicles 20. Happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And the thunder is getting closer.
It is. So
it's the light. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazan Tamor, which is En Gedi. There's three key points of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat feared. Don't do that. Set himself to seek the Lord. Do that. And proclaim the fast. Do that. Throughout all Judea. All Judah. Judah gathered together, asked help from the Lord. And from the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? I just don't get why they put all this in this negative. Maybe they prayed it that way. You are God in heaven, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand there is power and might. So no one is to be able to withstand you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Now, pause for a minute. We'll pause at 9/11. In the Old Testament, they may have actually prayed these prayers like, where are you? But in the New Testament, we know where God is. He's right here. There ain't no reason to pray this prayer like this in the New Testament. When he's in here, you and I say, O Lord God, our fathers, you are God in heaven and earth. You get yourself in faith and in affirmative action of who God is. Right. Disaster comes upon us, Lord, judgment, pestilence, famine. We will stand before this temple in your presence. For your name is in the temple. and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. I like that. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They have turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. There's so much good in this chapter. All Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assemblies. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So don't be afraid. Just get up and get moving. No fear. 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. All the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshipped him. The Levites of the children of the Kohathites of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They were sopranos. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. I think the wilderness of Tekoa is right down here, off to the left of them. It's by the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. They went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, sing and to praise, comma, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated, routed, destroyed, annihilated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Wow. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. Why did they bring their valuables to the war? Except God said, take your stuff with you. Because I'm fixing to plunder your foolish selves. And precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days carrying away the spoil, because there was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah. There they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Barakah until this day. They returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with the joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments, harps, trumpets, to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. And even though he did some things wrong, his heart was chasing after God. I mean, you got to realize halfway through his career, his time as king, is when he actually found the word of God.
Wow. Yeah.
So he reigned part of it. Like, I don't know. I don't even have the book, but I'm going to be like David at least. And then when they found the book, he repented. And that's what you got to do today. I'm not stuck on this, but some of you are on the wrong side of right and wrong, good and bad, evil and righteousness. You're on the wrong side. And all of a sudden, your eyes have been opened. I'm standing with a bunch of violent, wicked, horrible, perverse people. Get away from them. If you have nowhere else to go and you don't have nobody cool to hang out with, then move to Williston, North Dakota and hang out with me because I'm cool. And I'll help you know who God is. Seriously, there's 1,000 jobs out here. I got room for a whole mega church to move out here and join me and all have jobs. 45 rigs drilling right now. Anyways, that was my slight ad for North Dakota. Don't worry, I don't get paid. Does anybody know what verse I'm on? 31. Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of his father Asa and did not turn aside from him, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. It's possible right in the midst of the wickedness to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. The rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, indeed they're written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted very wickedly. Do not make wicked alliances. He allied himself to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. But Eliezer, son of Dodba of Marisha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works. Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Quit trying to build something that he ain't a building. Not Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers, went buried with his fathers in the city of David. Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. See, everybody thought Yahu was a new name, but it wasn't. They were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold, precious things, with fortified cities in Judah, but he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. When Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with a sword. Fear. Also other of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and God came out of heaven and kicked his butt himself. That was not in the Bible. I just accidentally said that because that's how angry I would have been if I was God for somebody that did something as stupid as that. Aren't you glad you and I aren't God? We'd smoke the whole earth. There would be nobody left.
Yeah.
And he walked in the way of the king's visit just as the house of Ahab done. For he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife and did evil in the sight of the Lord. There's your problem. Don't marry them wicked women. That the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant he made with David. Because of the covenant he made with David. Since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. In the days of Edom, revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. Jehoram went out with his officers and his chariots with him. do not look away. Wow, that was a good strike of lightning. And he rose by night and attacked by Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of his chariots, and it was closed. Thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. At that time, Libnah revolted in his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. Man, just do not do this. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet saying, thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the harlotry of the house of Ahab also, have killed your brothers, those of your father's household who were better than yourself. God doesn't have a problem making a comparison. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. You'll become very sick with the disease of your intestines, till your intestines come out by the reason of sickness day by day. When God curses you, you done been cursed. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Happened in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness, so he died in severe pain. People made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow, wow, I never saw that thing, departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Chapter 22. Ahaziah reigns in Judah. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the other older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. If you're a mother, do not advise your kids to do wickedly. Man, that's wicked. Jesus help us. Wow. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. They were his counselors after the death of his fathers to his destruction. They were his counselors to his destruction. He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. His going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the priest of Judah, the sons of Ahaziah's brother, who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. He searched for Ahaziah and caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, he's the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. These people were a mess. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all royal heirs of the house of Judah. Some destroying folks right here. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from the king's sons who were being murdered. Put him and his nurse in a bedroom. See? So, Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Wow. I didn't ever catch the Jehoiada the priest part. For she was, I mean, I'm sure I did, but for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. There's a whole lot of killing and bloodshed going on here. He was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years. He was hidden in the house of God for 6 years. While Athaliah reigned over the land, the lady is reigning. Well, all right. That's the end of the chapter. 23. Oh, my. Joash crowned the king of Judah. In the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Ishmael, the son of Jehohanan, Azariah, the son of Obed, Messiah, the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, the son of Zichri. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. All the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and said to him, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do: one third of you entering on the Sabbath of the priest and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. One third shall be at the king's house, one third at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. Let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priest and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch for the Lord. The Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand. Whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." So the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the divisions. He's got a serious battle plan going on here. Jehoiada the priest gave the captain of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which belonged to King David that were in the temple of God. Then he set all the people, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar, by the temple, all around the king. And they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, "Long live the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing, blowing trumpets, also the singers with musical instruments and those who led in praise. Athaliah tore her clothes, and she said, "Treason, treason." She's wicked as a goat. 14. Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of the hundreds who were set over the army, said to them, "Take your outside under guard. Slay with the sword whoever follows her. For the priest has said, 'Do not kill her in the house of the Lord.'" So they seized her, and she went by way of the entrance of the horse gate, because she gets a dumb old horse, into the king's house, and they killed her there. There's just a whole lot of bloodshed. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, between the people and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Thank you, Jesus. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. It broke in pieces its altars, images, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to The hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. He set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who is in any way unclean should enter. He took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gate to the king's house and set the king on the throne of his kingdom. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. My. Now, it just stands to reason that verse out of Psalms, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. There's no sense in it. And no matter who you are tonight, God's holy, majestic word has led you to this place where you can find God. And we're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. And I want you to pray that prayer with us, because in a matter of 2 minutes, you will be right with God. If you mean this prayer from the depth of your heart, and you're not going to, you might not understand it, but you say, I mean this prayer, you'll be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16
and John 1:12,
when I believe in you,
you
give me everlasting life.
You give me
and I will life. Not perish. And I thank you for it. Put your hands out and say, Jesus, come into my life.
Jesus, come into my life.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
Fill me with your grace and your mercy.
Fill me with your grace and your mercy.
Fill me with your love and your righteousness.
Fill me with your love and your righteousness.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So
understand God's holy word.
Understand God's holy word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
Pray this in Jesus' name.
Pray this.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, on the inside of you, you can tell something's going on. And you're like, oh my goodness sakes alive. This is like the greatest experience I've ever had. One guy was like, whoa, dude, I never felt a drug like this. I'm like, it ain't a drug and it don't go away. He's like, you mean I could experience this every day? I'm like, yeah. Walk with God and be holy. What just happened? Jesus, the light of the world, just came in you and your being is now filled with life, all yourself. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. He just came into you. And he brought the measure of faith with him so that you have faith in your heart. And his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness fills you. Naturally, that makes everything better. Now what we got to do is get you discipled, disciplined in the ways of God. We got to get this word down in you until it changes your subconscious. And then you function automatically as a man or a woman of God. How it works. You might say, I don't know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about it. When you wake up in the morning and you're looking up at that ceiling, just say, Father, in Jesus' name, help me walk with you. Write it on a piece of paper if you can't remember it. Go back and listen to this video again. You'll get it. When you stop at lunch to eat, whether it's noon or midnight, bow your head and say, thank you for your help. I choose to walk with you. Pray over your meal at home, your family. We call this food blessed and sanctified. Then, when you lay down and go to sleep tonight, look up into that darkness and say, how did I do today? And he'll tell you. If you've done wrong, man, you get up the next day and get it fixed. so you can walk with God. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts over and over and over and over and over. And I guarantee you, if you do what I just said, I will see you in heaven. You will have a crown waiting for you. Jesus. Well, it's not all I got to say, but it's all I'm going to say. So, remember, Sunday we have communion right here on the Read the Word. Until then, that's what I have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.